Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me is Executive Director of Happy Valley United. That's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Oh, we're doing great, Jim. Time's fine. Time's fine. I'm in a phase in my life where I have a 7 and 11-year-old. And it's just me and my wife. And, you know, in state college, we don't have any family here. So I'm getting in that phase where, like, it's always something after school. Or it's always something like I had to go to school for picnic day the other day. And then and my daughter has soccer. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. But the days go fast, which is great. But it's been fun. This phase that we're in right now. A lot of hot topic buttons out there because this is a slow time of the year. I'm happy to be back here, Jim. And I know we got some good stuff to talk about today. I know, we have some good roster stuff to talk about and commits potentially. So, yeah, glad to be back, Jim.
Yeah, always great to be on with you, Mike. Like I said, there's even in this really quiet time, there's so much going on nationally with college football. A lot of the conferences are having their meetings. And what I'm particularly interested in, because I love it's this great spitting contest between like the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference about the college football playoffs going from 12 to 24 teams. And to me, what's always interesting about it is instead of saying Big Ten and Southeast Conference, why don't they just say Fox versus ESPN? Because that's really what's going on.
Well, yeah, it's that, and then it's also the commissioners are still, like, Greg Sankey doesn't want to budge on this because of this just battle between him and Petitti. But I did hear he was on with Feinbaum last week, and there was some good stuff. And what I did appreciate from Sankey was he didn't back down on some of the questions. Feinbaum asked him about, you know, the relationship between him and Big Ten Commissioner Petitti. And he's like, we have a good working relationship. So I think it's interesting that there's a whole narrative out there that it's like a Game of Thrones and all the conferences. And it doesn't seem that way exactly. It seems like, you know, there is actually more transparency. I just think with cards that they were dealt, like there's just naturally going to be some friction when you got to make these big decisions. But I thought it was good. It helped me like understand where he's coming from more, other than trying to be like the czar, which I think is the narrative out there. So yeah, but it's going to be interesting where this thing goes. And gosh, there's just so much of the talks about breaking away from the NCAA and having a power conference between the SEC and the Big Ten. It sounds crazy, but it actually seems like there's some kind of traction there and some people are talking about it. So it's going to be interesting where we're at here in 5 years, Jim.
Whenever I hear these things or read these things, I always wonder the motivation behind it. Usually the motivation is money. Okay. Somehow, some way it's about money. When the coaches association comes out and supports a 24 team playoff instead of 12, I'm like, why would they do that? Very simple. That means 24 coaches made the playoffs. More of them, you know, have job security because of it. Why else would they do it? And the two conferences, the Big Ten and SEC, having different thoughts. Well, you know, SEC is aligned with ESPN. If anything up to 16 teams in playoffs, the college playoffs belong to ESPN. Right. Fox, which is aligned with the Big Ten, they only get a piece of the playoffs if it expands beyond 16 teams. So it's like, oh, okay, well, there you go. There's the motivation. But what's fascinating is, in a lot of ways, Mike, I feel like 16 would probably be better than 12 and better than 24 but they can't go to 16 because each one is saying, you know, well, it's all or nothing. Do it our way or no way. So they can't change it from 12 to 16. If it's going to change, it's got to go to 24, apparently.
Yeah, it's a mess. And not just that's a mess. It's the NIL still, the CSC, complaining about, like, this is what you guys paid a lot of money for and signed up for, and now you guys are saying you don't want it. So you hear, I think it's Pollard, the AD for Iowa State, come out and say, yes. Like, just break away. You can tell by that conversation, a respectful AD like that to come out publicly like that, it means like there's some real feelings there about this and the actual breakup of conferences and stuff like that. And it's just, it sucks. It sucks to see the game is like at this position. Let's just hope for the best and, the smart people will prevail in this and we'll come out of it good.
I've always felt that idea of breaking away was more a threat to get what they want, a negotiating ploy, because I very much wonder, and I haven't heard any conversations about this, Mike, but I just feel like Congress would not allow this to happen, because if you just have the Big Ten and Southeast Conference break away, there are too many congressmen who represent areas that would not be included, and they would make a fuss and, disallow that from happening. I think the more interesting one to me is, and it's fascinating, it's the rich dude who's kind of drives the Texas Tech football program. I think he's head of the board of trustees. He's a gazillionaire, and he's pushing for the all-in football contract being national as opposed to controlled by the conferences, which is the model that the NFL uses. If individual teams or in the NFL could get their own television contract, the New York teams, the Dallas Cowboys, the LA teams, they would do a whole lot better than Green Bay. But if you're looking at the best interest of the whole, the NFL does better negotiating the contract as a whole. That's what he puts out there. Of course, the guys who run the Southeast Conference in the Big Ten, their opinion differs. Why? Because they now have the advantage of the bigger television contracts.
Yeah, it's just such a big power, just a checkers right now. It's or chess game, really, between everybody. And it's just going to be interesting to see where we get to, because not everybody's going to be happy. There's going to be some give and some take from some of these, very proudful presidents, commissioners, politicians are involved, and everybody's just kind of got to look for the greater of the game rather than individual agendas. But that's easier said than done. Yeah, apparently.
Well, I've always been a less government is better. I don't want the government meddling in things, but I know they each have their incentives, but who is there out there in the college football game who is looking out for the best interest of the entire game? If you're the commissioner of the Big Ten, your clientele are all the schools in the Big Ten. It's your job to be selfish for those schools. Same thing, the Southeast Conference Commission. Every commissioner, his job is to take care of his own conference. They have no incentive to take care of anybody else's conference. They're not paid to take care of those other conferences, Mike.
That's right. And the presidents are their bosses, right? So they got to listen to the presidents. Not so much, they listen to AD, but the presidents, from a hierarchy standpoint, they trump them. And if anybody that's been around, universities and you've met presidents, they're different. A lot of them are different. They don't really come from a sports logistic background, business background, right? So you're dealing with those type of people that really don't understand everything that is kind of going into it and really kind of the implications of what happens and how they what they do in the next year or two, what they've done the past 3 years, really is going to have huge implications on where in the health status of that university is, not just with sports, right? It's going to affect the entire university, the entire budget, and like everything. So it's really important that those presidents and get on board with ADs and the conference commissioners and the politicians and everybody gets on the same page.
Exactly. And the other part to it, though, is you're right. You know, the presidents theoretically have the power, but they need to acquiesce to their biggest donors. Take a look at, you know, hey, it's a sports issue, right? The Pac-12 essentially disappeared. It reincarnated as something much lesser. But if you're the president of Washington State or the president of Oregon State, how much did it cost you that you were not able to get to another conference like all the other schools did? How badly were those schools damaged financially?
I mean, you're seeing all these schools talking about how they're in debt, you know what I mean? And it's just an issue across the board. And what the bigger problem is, and I think what everybody's seeing and why all these like pretty significant changes are coming to maybe become reality, is because the roster and the money's going up. You know, the reports, there's reports out there, and I think you got to take them for a grain of salt, but you know, they're probably somewhat around those figures that they have out there. But I mean, Texas and these other schools paying north of 40, and you have coaches outspoken right now talking about how we're going to have $80 million rosters if this thing doesn't shut down. Where's that $80 million going to come from yearly? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's scrambling to find the pockets in an NIL system and a structure within a university so that it can function and it can be sustainable. And that is the big thing. I always listen to Full Ride, and they were so funny. Neuheisel was talking about how it's so unsustainable. That is what every coach that he talks to right now is just says it's unsustainable. And we've been saying that for a long time, but now the money and the stuff it's out there that it's clear that this is not sustainable. That's why you're bringing in private equity. That's why you're having all these big standoffs, because the implications of what happens is going to be huge, huge.
Yes, it definitely will be. All right, Mike, we've talked about the college football world. How about next quarter we get closer to home and we talk about this Penn State team a little bit? We're in the off season. Kind of take stock. We're done with the spring. I got lots of roster questions for you. We're going to do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. It's quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. With me, the brains behind HVU Insider, that's Mike Villagrana. Every time I say something like that, you get that look on your face, and you usually reference, well, me and my West Virginia University education.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's why, like, I don't know if you should say brains and then follow up after that word, but appreciate that, Jim.
Well, hey, I promise we'd talk more about the Penn State roster starting with this segment. Want to get to it, but, you know, take a look at some of the questions with the roster, and I'm going to go overall a little bit, and I want to get your take on this, a theory I have. Going into this season, there was such an influx, of course, of Iowa State players, the Iowa State coaching staff coming over. You heard a lot of this team's going to be, you know, Ames, Iowa East, and all that. In the meantime, you and I have been doing these shows in State College at Pine Grove Hall. A lot of fun. We get to interview players. And that kind of spanned the entire spring practice. And when we would ask the players the first couple shows about, okay, now the mixing of the two sides, it seemed like a healthy conversation, you know, that it was being worked on. By the last couple shows that we did, I almost feel like I shouldn't even ask the question anymore. The response is simply, we're one team now. It feels like that they've melded themselves into a cohesive group.
Yeah, I think Coach Campbell and the staff has done a really good job coming in and establishing and implementing his philosophy, his processes, his structure, and his culture, right? And the culture, that's going to take a long time to really get it to where he wants it ultimately. But I think he's come in, he's had all these like really cool, on top of the accountability, first, I guess that's the first thing I want to say, like he really implemented his version of accountability within the staff and with the players. And I think that was just a really big change for these guys, the way that he went about that. And I think that really brought the team together initially. Obviously, going through winter workouts as a team was huge for them, right? Because that's winter workouts is tough. But I think they did it right. And then, you know, you bring in the first spring. You know, he again, that's the first time these guys are really coaching them on the field. And it does. It seems like, and that's, we were, like you said, had the chance to talk to a lot of these guys, a lot of them from a lot, even, you know, guys that didn't come from Iowa State and came from Boston College. Like everybody really kind of said the same thing. Like the returning Penn State players and the Iowa State players and the other transfers, they all kind of came together. And, you know, that's, you know, a lot to, has to do with how Coach Campbell and the staff's handling the team. So it seems like it's a really good team. I think I saw something come out the other day from a recruiting service say that, you know, it was like, it was a top five transfer portal class, which I would agree with. It's just a lot of people didn't know who these players are, but they're, we talked about it a long time ago. Yeah, they were three stars coming in to a lot, to the program. But the big shtick with Coach Campbell and his staff is they developed the crap out of these guys and they're good early evaluators. And these guys are now Bomber is a all Big 12 tight end that just transferred, right? Like these are really good players that we got and obviously understand Coach Campbell's philosophy, is able to really kind of help the returning players and everybody else get acclimated to that process. So it does. It seems like, you know, everything is on par right now, when you're looking at the roster, when you're looking at the culture and the timing, when probably Coach Campbell came into this thing, he probably laid out where he wants to be during all these phases. And I bet you he's pretty happy with where they're at right now. At least from my lens, it seems like everything's going as planned.
Yeah, I get that feeling too in talking to the players. And I also feel like the Penn State athletes, and I'll say athletes in general, not just the football players, but even across the other sports, they're usually pretty good character people that we're dealing with. And I get the feeling now in talking to several of the Iowa State incoming players, there was that same kind of culture at Iowa State. So it feels like it was a matching culture between the two, which I think was very helpful with all of this. Let's get to, and, you know, dealing with the players themselves and where we are with this group. And it, as always, Mike, it starts at quarterback and it starts with Rocco Beck. And I know he had the offseason surgery. It wasn't his throwing shoulder. It was his left shoulder. Has he successfully become the leader of this team among the players that you need from that quarterback position?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, he wasn't, like, completely, you know, wasn't able to practice. I think, you know, the fans got to see in the spring practice game, the blue-white spring practice game, you know, he's throwing the ball. He did some 7-on-7 stuff, and he was out there. It wasn't like he was, like, in a blue jersey the whole time on the side and not doing anything. So he inserted himself. Man, every time I'm by the building, I always see him upstairs. Which is pretty cool. You just want to see your quarterback around all the time, right? But Yeah, he's definitely earned it, right? I mean, he's the most experienced returner in the country, I believe, right? And yes, he's got the stats to back it up. You know, he's got the wins, he's got the record, he's got the resume. And my interactions with him, my first interaction with him was at a practice, and him and Coach Waters, the quarterback coach, were just talking and chalking it up. And I had just got a call from a buddy that I had worked with. We were just catching up, and he talked about his mom and his dad, how they knew him really well. And I was like, I just missed his dad when I played at West Virginia. And he's just talking about what a great kid he is, and the mom and all that. Right.
Yeah.
And then I met him, and like, he just seemed very normal, down to earth. Like he seems like he has a very good presence about himself. He's confident, but not like overconfident, too cocky. Like you can get that some quarterbacks or some players, but not him. I think we're really lucky to have him right now. And then, you know, him, granted, he stays healthy. You know, we're going to have time to develop some of these guys in the room to see how they develop, because that's going to determine what we do in the portal at that position, right? You have, you know, pretty young guys. You got the Mansky, Alex Mansky and Connor Berry, yeah, and Peyton Falzone. Those are all young guys. I know we've talked about Falzone being a guy that's super athletic, but he may grow out of that room and maybe become a valuable contributor somewhere else. But you have that. Let's see how he develops this fall. Alex Mansky was hurt this spring, which I was really disappointed in because his game tape is really good. I really like him. He can sling it. So seeing him develop this summer and then this fall is going to be really important. That's one that I think we really need to watch his development to see what we do in the portal after this season, because basically he's next man up. I know we have the Connor Berry kid, which he did a great job coming in. I think the staff was very happy with him to be able to come in at that position with the first two quarterbacks injured. That's huge. Your one and two quarterbacks is hurt, all right, and you're trying to implement a new offense with the you know what I mean? So that, but it goes back to why, like, that's really good that Brocco, like, he was dressed, he was in practice, he just wasn't full contact. So that was big. So that's an interesting room to me, just because it's young once you go past Rocco and see how that goes. And obviously with Will Wood committing, he's going to be a big one.
It is. It's you. You beat me to the punch a little bit with that. Who's the next man up? And that's, I'm sure it hurt a lot not having Alex Mansky there for spring practice. You hit it though. His development's going to be so important. But after Rocco and after Connor Barry, they're both gone after this season. The most experienced guy is Mansky, who I think has thrown five collegiate passes in his career. It seems like they will bring in a portal quarterback. I think it just becomes, do you need to bring in a guy to start in 27, or do you need to bring in a guy who's just an experienced guy who could give you somebody off the bench if there's an injury? And I think that is all just dependent on Mansky's play during the fall.
Yeah. And I mean, Case Evans coming in too. He's a young guy. It's going to be a really interesting room to see that the development. But I mean, granted, quarterbacks get dinged up. You know what I mean? So somebody's got to come in, like, who's going to be that guy? So that's going to be something to be watching this fall, big time, come fall camp. Because that's a huge position. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You get dinged up a little bit, you got to come out for a play, helmet gets knocked off. All right, who's going to be able to come in? Is that guy going to be able to come in and manage the offense, or is that guy going to be able to come in and make a difference, kind of like a Rocco Beck, right? We'll see.
Yeah, right now I think the team is pretty much, you know, crossing fingers that Rocco stays healthy. Kind of a different setup, but also interesting is the running back room, where you have, you know, guys, veteran guy coming in from Iowa State. You have an interesting guy, James People, coming in from Ohio State. you have Quentin Martin, who we were all so impressed with in the bowl game. So it's like you're looking at Hansen, you're looking at Peoples, you're looking at Martin. I'm wondering, Mike, I think you could play multiple people at the position, but you probably want to know who the 1A guy is. I'm not sure we're going to know that when the season starts.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just going to naturally happen with whoever is hot. I think we talked about this a while ago, because based on what I'm seeing, Carson Hansen's a dude. Like, he's an every down type of back. I think James Peoples is probably, out of all of them, the dude. I see, like, it in this guy. Like, all around running back, he's smooth, contact balance, home run ability. Like, I think James, if I had to guess right now today, I would guess James Peoples ends up being 1A. But Quentin Martin and Carson Hansen are not far behind, right? Like, so it could be the trio of them, a rotation, which is awesome to have that, especially if you're a run the ball, pound you type of offense, right? Because you're going to need those guys and the durability, and having fresh legs and not have a drop off between three guys is pretty good, right? Because I think if you ask a lot of people, I think all three of them, you don't know. But to me, if I had a bet, James Peoples ends up winning this competition.
That's interesting. I'm going to follow up on that as soon as we get back after this break, Mike.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform, giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number three of our show. Mike, we wrapped up by quarter number two talking about the running backs. I think one of the issues going on is Penn State fans have not seen enough of Carson Hansen to know how good he is. We saw Quentin Martin. We knew about him as a recruit. We saw what he could do in the bowl game. And I think we have a good feel for James Peoples, highly regarded going to Ohio State. So that's going to be a fun room. I just think it's fortunate you have an out-of-conference schedule. Play all three of them and let the best man win.
Yeah. I think Carson Hansen, I think he's going to be a fan favorite, because he's going to be that gritty dude that, like, on third and three or third and four, he gets the rock and he, like, he's scrappy and gets it somehow in some way always, right?
Yeah.
And he has more burst than I think people give him credit. So, you know, he's a big kid. I like the way that he runs. And Quentin Martin, I've always been a fan of. Obviously, being here now, I've had a season with seeing him. He's got all the tools to be legit. And I'm rooting for him. Him sticking around and then actually seeing him excel, you know what I mean? And in the rotation, he could have, especially in this era, he could have laid it down, right? And said, I'm going in the portal. You're bringing this guy from Ohio State. You're bringing this guy from Iowa State. What about me? Like, in this day and age, I'm rooting for Quentin Martin. I'm a big Q fan. But as I said, I will say, if I had to guess right now, by the middle of the season, I think James Peoples will have the most production, I bet. If I had to guess.
But it's not off. It's an excellent room, so it'll be fun to watch. Let's look at the offensive line, and the more I think about it, the more confident I am in it. I think it's, you know, the returning Penn State guys on the right side, where you have, you know, Cooper Cousins, Anthony Donka, you know, the transfer Brock Riker along with Dominic Rulli at center. You have some depth there. I guess it's Trevor Burr at left guard coming in from Iowa State. My big question for you, Mike, is Malachi Goodman, redshirt freshman, didn't see the field last year. Is he ready to be a left tackle in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think so. He's more than ready. I mean, as a freshman, him coming in as a true freshman last year and seeing him, he already has the body and the build that he looks monstrous already.
He's listed at 6'6", 330. That's a pretty good left tackle build.
And he's long, right? So I think this year we should be really excited about the play there. He's a highly touted high school kid. If you meet him, he's at a lot of these events and community service stuff. If you meet him, he's an awesome kid. But he's super talented. I love him anchoring down at the left tackle this year. That I can see him having a huge, huge year. And we're talking about him potentially as a first round draft pick.
Wow, that's high praise, and it'd be nice to see. Then, you know, we have a few young guys returning from Penn State, guys like Alessini and Sexton. We also have three young guys coming in from Iowa State, too. So there's some more people. Are there any names among that group that you say, you know what, we better keep an eye on him?
For the offensive line?
Yeah, of the young guys.
Of the young guys, I love V, who we met.
Oh, God, yes.
I think I'm rooting for him because I
– Via Iacocola.
Yeah.
I practiced his name.
Yeah. I want people to get to know him, so I'm rooting for him. But he's still young and developing. Donnie Harbor, kind of really surprised that he stuck around. I think I talked about this a while ago. When I first came back and I was, you know, reevaluating the roster and getting to know it, it seemed like the previous staff was pretty down on him. And it seems like he's kind of come out of that in this transition, and he's kind of fell forward and he's putting himself in a good position to compete. So happy for Donnie Harbor. Owen Alessini is actually the one that we really got to watch out for to be in that like sixth or end up starting. I think you saw him when he was at the show.
Yeah.
He looks all of what a tackle's supposed to look like, right? So he's another good one. And Garrett Sexton's another one that got a lot of good reps last year too.
Well, Alessini, just to mention, he's the guy we always talk about who looked like a basketball player when we first met him. He's up to 300 pounds, he told us when we had him on the show. And he looks like he could carry another 20 pounds easily.
Oh, yeah, easily. Easily. He's still growing. I mean, like we talked about all the time, these offensive linemen, they develop. That's why they're hard to project. So he's still growing. But, yeah, he's going to be able to come in and hold his own this year, and he's going to get some valuable reps and see how he turns out. But I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in and say he's got to put in some time, maybe due to injury or something like that, and he establishes himself. But I think there's a good mixture in this group. You have some good senior leadership role from, I think, what everybody would say. Our fan favorite is Dom Rulli.
Yes.
Who we're going to have on the show here soon. But, yeah, having him and, you know, having him as a center and a backup, and he could come in and fill a role at one of the guard positions, going to be good. You know, smart, high IQ type of kid, gritty dude. But those are the guys that I think are all in the mix. But I'm looking forward to seeing Cooper Cousins this year. I think he's once we got through this transition, you can kind of see him like in the building and around the team that he's kind of really taken a step forward in the leadership position. And I think when all the fans saw his true freshman year, everybody's really excited. I think last year, just as collectively as a whole, the offensive line didn't kind of underachieved, right? I think he's motivated to really have a good year this year. Not just him, but he's taking the leadership role in that room, and there couldn't be a better guy between him, Donka, you know, Malachi, the returners. Those guys are all really good dudes. And then you bring in a Brock Riker who has experience, knows the system, knows how Coach Clanton is. is really big. It's a really good room, good chemistry. Coach Clan leading that room is really good. So I'm excited about the offensive line room. Like I said, I say it all the time to you, Jim. I'm not right. I miss a lot from an evaluation standpoint. Last year, I thought the line was going to win the Joe Moore Award. I swear to God I did. I really did. I thought they were just going to run for 300 yards a game. I thought they were had like the backups could have like start on other teams and roll guys out of there. So I have missed, but I do at this point right now, I feel really good about the offensive line.
Well, the way last year's offensive line performed, Mike, I don't look at it so much as you were wrong as they underperformed. And I think they would tell you that. I mean, they should have been so much better than what they were. I think a fresh start. I think Coach Clanton coming in too. Nothing against Coach Troutwine, but sometimes you just need a new voice. And I think he's an interesting guy. And every offensive lineman we spoke to about him, their eyes light up, they smile. You know that they really enjoy playing for him. So that's going to be an interesting group to see. Let's move on to, I always call this the between you and I, our favorite position is tight end, I think. You have experience as a tight end. I just like the tight end position. I like the way Penn State has been tight end you. You know what? I think Iowa State, they probably claim themselves as a tight end you over the last couple of years. This is a great combination with Andrew Rapoyer coming back, Ben Brommer, the best tight end in the transfer portal, coming back. I think people forget that there's this Gabe Burkle who's also coming in with experience. And yeah. And you and I got to meet Cooper Alexander, very impressive young guy coming in from Iowa State. That's a position, you know, they lost a lot of talent, went out the door. But with that said, I love this tight end room, Mike.
Yeah, and the other guy, too, is Kordovich. So Brian Kordovich, who was he redshirted last year out of Ohio. I think he was kind of like in the shadows of everybody else, right? But he was a highly touted kid coming out of high school. And then the reports from Coach Campbell is he had a really good spring and offseason. So you add him as well. And like you said, yeah, I think people forget about Gabe Burkle a little bit, but he's a senior coming in, transfer. He's transferring for a reason, right? Because he's going to have a prominent role on this stat, on this team and at that position. But, you know, it's funny when talking to Cooper Alexander, you got it out of them, you and Chris, talking about how they're going to use 3-4 tight ends at times. So it's really good. It's a good problem to have with, you know, Rapidly coming back. You know, he's always been one of my favorite guys on the team, just probably because he'll probably admit to you, he's kind of like a meathead type of guy. Like, my kind of guy, you know?
You can relate.
Yeah, just a bro, like just a good dude. So I'm excited for him to come back, obviously coming off that that surgery that he had. But he looks good walking around right now. But I just, to me, all around, like he's one of the better all-around guys. But you bring in Ben Brommer, who like he's huge. He's a big dude, man. So yeah, like all around, like good tight ends. These tight ends aren't just like a receiver type of tight end, and they're not just like what I was, just another extra lineman. They're the all around tight ends, right? Your prototypical tight ends in the NFL, right? That you see. So I don't think you're going to see a drop off in this room as we move forward, and we already have a really good commitment from Cooper Tellwiger from Dakota. That was a big commitment that we got a couple weeks ago. And I think fans, by the time that they hear this, we may have another good-looking tight end to jump on the board. So I'm excited about this room, as always. I wish I played in an offense like this. But and I played for a 10 personnel offense. That means for the fans, they don't use the tight end. Real smart move for me to go. But this is going to be fun to watch these guys. It really is.
Well, it was fun. You referenced the conversation we had at one of our live shows at Pine Grove Hall, where I talked to Cooper Alexander. And I think the way I phrased it was, are we going to see like two tight end or three tight end? And his answer was, we'll see three tight end or four tight end formations, which would be a lot of fun to see. All right, Mike, that is it for quarter number three. We got another quarter to go, and I got lots more questions. We'll do that right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. This is quarter four of our show. I'm Jim, he's Mike. We're talking about this Penn State football team, kind of evaluating the roster a little bit, what post-spring practice. And Mike, it's interesting. The wide receiver room has been turned over every year for the last several years. And it's like I have people talk about Penn State wide receivers. To me, this is a totally independent event this year. New head coach, new coordinator, new position coach, new players completely, with several experienced players coming from Iowa State. I think you start with Chase Soule and Brett Eskelson, two really experienced players. And then we also got some young players in support.
Yeah, I think that the player that everybody wants to see is Kobe Howard, right?
Yes.
I love Kobe, and I think he's really good, but he's still, like, to me, he was still just a true freshman last year, so I didn't understand, like, I kind of do understand because people want more production, so get him out there. But I think he's ready to have a huge breakout year. He'll be on our show here in a couple weeks, too, which will be
looking forward to it.
Ask questions. Yeah, he's kind of a quiet kid, really respectful, really good kid. Always in the building, always on the jugs machine, just a hard worker. Reminds me of some of the guys that I was around my first stint here, like Juwan Johnson, Deshaun Hamilton, those guys just always on the jugs. He's that type of kid. I'm looking forward to seeing that room. To me, like when you have an offense like this that's really tight end dependent, right, and you have, you know, set a lot of your sets are multiple tight ends, all right, how do you spread the wealth to these guys? This is like really interesting to me. Like that was what I was interested in last year at this time. I was like, how are we going to get all these tight ends the ball, plus some of these wide receivers, plus the two NFL running backs that we had in the backfield? Like that, and we ultimately didn't have a good team for that. So, or it just didn't work. So it's going to be interesting to see how this we mesh and gel, and how many targets and how much we're going to throw versus how much we're going to run in this offense is going to be really interesting to see. But I think we did upgrade at that position this year, obviously bringing in some of those older some of the transfers. But I really like Kobe Howard being one of the bigger guys. And I think somebody else we had on the show was Zay Robinson, younger kid. I think he could have a breakout year. Talking to some of the guys on the staff, I've heard KJ Hamler comps to Zay.
Yes.
I think people really like that. Somebody, a type of player that has home run ability anytime he touches the ball. We like that, right? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But, it's a strong room, I think. The White Shadow is his nickname. I don't know if that's – PC, but I think that's out there. I think he claims that Brett Eskelson is the witch. Yeah. So he's going to be like he's like a core player to a leader on the team. He may not be the most athletic, if you're looking at Kobe Howard and his ceiling, but he's just like one of those all around guys that can do it all and is tough. He's got that Coach Campbell culture like in him. I can see this guy being like a guy in the league, like a 10-year career in the league.
You know, you mentioned briefly Zay Robinson, who we had on the show. I am so interested in seeing him play. If his play on the field matches his personality, he's going to be fun and exciting to watch. And the other guy coming from Iowa State, Caron Brookins, 6'5". I love those long wide receivers. And apparently he's had a pretty good spring also.
Yeah, he's huge. Very long, avatar-looking type of guy. And he's got, you know, the kind of the full package. He's got the speed. He's got the catch radius. He can burn you over the top. Like I've seen a couple of the practices that I was able to go to, he was making some big time throws. Some of those catches where play breaks down, quarterback just throws it up. And it's a 50-50 ball, probably should get picked, but he's making like these miraculous catches. And obviously firing up the team when you make those big catches. So, yeah, I agree. He could be another big one.
It's fun to hear that there are some young guys who could force their way into the lineup. As usual, Mike, we spent a lot of time on the offense. So we only got so much time to go over the defense. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you bring up, take the position or the players on defense that you want to talk about, the guys that you're kind of excited to see.
Well, my favorite player is Tony Rojas. You know, I know he was injured, but he looks good right now. He looks bigger and thicker, like an every down linebacker. So I'm excited to see him in there big time. Darius Dixon is obviously one of my favorites. I think he'll end up being a top 10 quarterback. Or recognized as a top 10 cornerback in college football after this year. I'm excited to see him. Neil is getting a lot of good pub out there. So he's kind of out there recognized as a player that's going to be big for us. But having that guy back there as the captain, the quarterback of the defense is going to be really exciting. So I guess I named a bunch of people, but.
Oh, that's right.
And then the other guy that I'm really looking forward to is, well, I'm always I would say tight end, offensive line, defense line are my favorite positions, and I'm really looking to see some of these transfers. The Alexander McPherson at defensive end from Colorado. I'm really excited to see Max Granville back.
Yes, after being out a year
injury, really excited about him. And then Yvonne. Like a guy that kind of got a lot of good playing time last year as a freshman, but kind of got shadowed by Chaz Coleman and his production and his you know, getting into the spotlight. But he's a freak. He reminds me of like who's our guy played for the Ravens? Plays for the Ravens. No, I think he just got traded. Gosh, I'm forgetting his name. But anyways. He's a freak. I think he's going to have a huge year. It's going to be interesting to see that defensive end room kind of come along. But they got some other people that they brought in too. They got Keanu Williams, you know, that's a senior. And then we'll see how some of these other guys that they brought in. But, yeah, I'm excited about this defense. And you don't really hear too many people talking about Coach Lynn. Like, he's a dude. And it seems like from what we're when we talk to some of these defensive players – it seems like it's the Coach Campbell mantra, slow and right. Seems like they've liked it and they've adapted really well and they're flying around, not thinking as much as I think they were last year is what is kind of seems like the same thing that they keep saying.
Well, I found it interesting. Remember when we spoke to Cam Smith at one of our events, we're getting so much good information from these guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to talk to them. And he talked about, I asked him the difference between, you know, the prior regime and D'Anton Lynn. And at linebacker, he said the defensive line now, they're so big, their job is to occupy people, and at linebacker, we can attack. We're not sitting back. We're attacking. We're stepping forward. And that will be interesting to see. You mentioned a guy, Marcus Neal, the safety. What I like about – I love tough physical safeties, guys who like to get up towards the line of scrimmage and make plays. And I think he led Iowa State in tackles. He had something like 77 tackles last year from the safety position. That's a guy who likes to get up in the box and make plays. So I'm really fascinated by that. You mentioned some other you mentioned Tony Rojas. There's also at linebacker, Alex Tash is also coming back. But there's three veteran linebackers also coming from Iowa State. Caleb Bacon, Cooper Abel, and Kale Brezina. So there's some experienced, solid linebackers coming too. I think they're the kind of guys my Penn State fans like. I think they're blue-collar kind of people.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, Penn State defense and just in general, not just defense, but just historically, blue-collar, man, especially linebacker. And, yeah, when you're in that box, gosh, yeah, it's just – You just think about the history and all the guys that played defensively. Like you, I just think about the linebacker position, and you have, you know, arguably one of the best linebackers to play Penn State. You know, in that position room, you know, helping Coach Veit, that's huge, yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm looking forward to Neal, but I think we're going to play a physical, fast type of football. Not thinking so much, maybe not trying to get too cute so much. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, that whole idea, that tough blue collar mentality, that seems to be a theme throughout the team, offense and defense. I think you mentioned Carson Hansen, you know, the running back who came in from Iowa State, the tight ends that are there who are able to, yes, catch the ball, but also block. And we might see two or three of them on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like I read an article somewhere where they talked about, oh, are we going to see a Big 12 type offense coming from all these Iowa State guys? But I don't think they were a Big 12 offense when they were in the Big 12. So
I think that's why they did good, because they were kind of the opposite type of team in a league that just wanted to, you know, throw it around, the Mike Leach air raid type of stuff all throughout a bunch of those teams. Yeah, I don't know. I have trouble really like buying the like Iowa State concerns. The Iowa State kids, those were tough ass kids, right?
Yeah.
Like in a hard league, like and all the good ones, we got them.
That's the thing, Mike, right there. I think Matt Campbell cherry-picked the best players from Iowa State. Well, I think that's what you got to remember.
Remember V or yes. V on the show saying, man, I was hoping he was going to call me.
Yes.
And then when he got the call, he was like, man, I was waiting for you to call.
Exactly. All right, Mike, that's going to be it for the show. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.